再过一个周，第95届奥斯卡就要开奖了。今年有一部以亚裔为主角的电影《瞬息全宇宙》，喜提11项提名，成为夺金热门。其主演杨紫琼也凭借此片成为了奥斯卡历史上首位获得最佳女主角提名的华裔演员。影片讲述了一个正在遭遇中年危机的美国亚裔女性，突然被委以拯救世界的重任，并通过在不同宇宙间的切换，体验了大厨、功夫巨星，甚至是石头等多种人生。虽然女主的设定仍未摆脱美国对老一代华裔的刻板印象，比如经营洗衣店，说话中英夹杂，在儿女面前是个控制欲极强的虎妈，但电影天马行空、脑洞大开的风格，还是给亚裔叙事带来诸多新的想象。从2018年上映全亚裔阵容的《摘金奇缘》起，荧屏上的亚裔就开始尝试撕掉人均李小龙、温良恭俭让、聪明勤奋但缺乏个性的标签。同时，亚裔演员也逐渐从配角走向类型片和实验性电影的台中央。比如，在同年上映的桌面电影《网络迷踪》里，亚裔就不再被作为猎奇对象，他们只不过是拥有不寻常经历的普通人。主演赵约翰也凭借此片成为了好莱坞的亚裔之光。其实还有很多这样的亚裔电影人在努力打破常规，他们创作时会遇到怎样的迷茫？他们又希望讲出怎样的亚裔故事，塑造出怎样的亚裔形象？本期嘉宾是导演王藻和制片人 Joyce 刘，他们刚刚拍摄完一部微电影。影片女主赵牡丹是美国著名韩裔脱口秀演员，也是王藻少年时期的偶像。王藻当年就是被他极具个人特色的喜剧风格所鼓舞，决心也要为多元亚裔叙事贡献自己的力量。我问王藻和 Joyce 怎么看待瞬息全宇宙的大火，他们觉得好的电影无关肤色，只有当观众忘记这是一部以亚裔为主角的电影，只是单纯地沉浸在它的精彩之中，这才算亚裔电影真正出圈了吧。This is Dedicated, a show where people share about what they are dedicated to. It could be a career or a hobby. They will tell you why they are so into it, or how they become so good at it.I'm your host, Lulu, and making these conversations happen is what I am dedicated to. You can also tell me what you are dedicated to. When the 13-year-old Zhao first saw Margaret Cho's stand-up comedy on TV, he was struck by her loud and unapologetic personality.He wished he could see more Asians like her on stage and screen. Later, Zhao became a filmmaker himself, and he met Joyce, a producer who also aspired to debunk the model minority myth by creating more not-your-average Asian characters. The two really hit it off and went on making a short proof-of-concept film. It's about an Asian American family taking a hunting tripthat has gone wrong, with a streak of dark humor and suspense. I'll stop here, cause I'm not gonna spoil it. Joyce even brought Margaret on the cast, and Zhao was thrilled to work with his idol. Though it's an Asian American story, Zhao and Joyce don't think it's ethnicity-based. It intends to touch on something universal,with the Asian idiosyncrasies being the cherry on the cake. And they've been working very hard to turn the short film into a full-length one. Today we have two amazing filmmakers, Zhao and Joyce, and they just finished shooting their new film called Unconditional, A Family Guide to Hunting.Yeah, so welcome to the show, Zhao and Joyce.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. This is exciting.
Yeah, so how was the filming?
I guess I'll take the beginning of those questions out, and you can
Yes. Okay.
bring up the anchor.
Yes.
I think, we did a lot of preparation for this. I mean, literally weeks and weeks and months of preparation. And of course, it's typical of any production. It all goes out the window the minute you show up on set because of whatever circumstances you can't control. And so our biggest challenge was really the weather. We were planning rain, and we're like, yeah, it's gonna be rain, it's gonna be wet. We just didn't plan for the snow. So, we're like, oh no, there's snow. How are we gonna shoot with snow on the ground? There's no snow in our film. And then also we had some logistic challenges that I'm gonna hand over to Zhao to talk about, but it was definitely really a lot of positivity from our crew and our cast and a lot of professionalism and just really their ability to just power through it that really helped us with the shoot, because otherwise it would have been grueling. I mean, we were hiking all our stuff in, we were carrying everything. We had heavy bridges to, bring in and bring out every night. It was challenging, but I think we had a really beautiful film. The frame was beautiful and the performances were amazing. So
Like Joyce was saying, the team really did a lot of prep work, and thanks to Joyce and Louis, the other producer, and the entire team, they we anticipated everything. Rain, overcast and sunshine, and even though we did not anticipate snow, but because of all the prep work we had done, we sort of knew what we needed to do. That I think that was the amazing thing on that first day, Joyce, when we drove up the mountain, like the literally halfway up the mountain, it was clear and dry, and we're like, it's not going to rain. And then halfway up the mountain, it starts to snow. We just start to see snow accumulation on the ground, and then we start to see like snow trucks, plowers clearing the snow on the road. It's like, oh crap, what's this? This is how we're gonna shoot. And then we literally saw the actor's trailer stranded on the side of the road because of the uphill. They couldn't drive anymore, so it's just abandoned on the side of the road with a LAPD and behind it, wanting to tow the honey wagon. But we planned our first day fairly light, factoring the rain, and so luckily we, it was a maybe a couple hour delay in the morning, but we actually were able to finish what we were supposed to shoot on the first day. So that was a great start. After that, we really felt like, okay, we got this. We can do this.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, congratulations on getting that solved and making it finally.
Yeah, and also just,
Thank
having the kind of crew and the actors, they were just so game. Everybody believed in the film, and everybody really just kind of rally behind, right? And I really felt like, we had limited number of crew because there's a limited number of people allowed for the trail and for where we're shooting. But everybody was really together on this, and that was just so moving, and you could feel the synergy, from the cast to the crew.
I would say that I think, I mean, I agree with what Zhao is saying. I think that the crew and the cast really kind of came together as a family on this film. But I think what really kind of brought everybody together was the script. And I think the power of the script itself, I mean, that's how we attached our talent. Like we sent it to everybody I sent it to, department heads, they all read it and they're like, I'm on board. I don't care how hard it is, I'm on board. And I think it was the power of the script that really mobilized everyone. But then I think we did a really great job of bringing people on board who are very kind, who are very generous, and who felt like, and we had an incredibly diverse and inclusive crew. So, and it wasn't, a lot of times when you're working in the entertainment industry, you're shooting films, a lot of times you're the only person of color. Forget like the only Asian American, you're the only person of color, right? On set. And so our crew was completely the opposite. It was, all races, all ethnicities, all genders, you know, like, and it was an inclusive set. And I feel like that was a place of belonging. And people, I think, gave that extra effort because they felt like this is a space where I belong and they want me here and they value me. And there are other people who look and think like me. You know, I get to be different. And in being different, I'm accepted. And I think that was really part of why everybody gave so much to this shoot.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things that one of the first things that Joyce and I talked about when it was just the two of us. And we wanted this, the story is about Asian American family. And it's so rare to see that in film and TV in general, let alone a kind of a genre blending story about Asian American experience. So we wanted our crew to be diverse, to be a reflection of the kind of story we're telling. And so I think at the end of the day, everybody who's on board wanted to do the project first and foremost. It wasn't just a film or a job. It was a believe in the story and bring the story to life to a bigger audience.
Yeah. Sounds like you got a very inclusive and supportive team. And we will get back to this later. Yeah, but first I want you to talk about what this film about. 'Cause yeah, I think the audience might already know what's gonna happen by reading from the title of this film. Yeah, but could you like tell us a little bit more about the plot?
So it's a story about an Asian American family on a hunting trip gone wrong when the daughter accidentally shoots her boyfriend dead, and now her family has to come together to figure out what to do with the body. Should they turn themselves in? Or should the dad take the fall, or what should they do with the body? And in the process of dealing with this ordeal, a lot of the family tension that normally don't get talked about surface. And each character, literally each person, not just the daughter, but mom and dad, each one of them really starts to answer what love and family mean to them. In their own way. And ultimately, together, whatever the form that their family love takes, it's going to prevail and it's going to save them. So it's a I would say it's a dark comedy with a heart of gold about family at the center of it.
I would definitely say that, you know, thematically, kind of like, I should say, kind of the driving force in the film is really the relationships between the mom, the dad, and the daughter. And really also, you know, the daughter and her grief because now her fiance, boyfriend, fiance, you know, it's like past, right? And that shock of it. And I think taking all that, like, forget that this is an Asian American film, right? Forget that this is a dark comedy. Really, at the core of this is that relationship, the emotional journey that they go through. And I think that is the most compelling part of this film. Just even watching performances. Like, I mean, I gotta be honest, I watched it behind the monitor and I was crying. And I was like, oh my God, like, we're gonna go get for another take. Like, you know, like, keep it together, Joyce. 'Cause it was just like, you just see, you know, for me as a mother myself, right? That I see that relationship with my child, and I'm like, how, it made me reflect. What is that relationship I have with my child? So, you know, in this way, I feel like this is a very universal story, you know, because then we're thinking, what's my relationship with my child, or what's my relationship with my parents, you know?
Yeah. I know a lot of immigrants, especially second generation immigrants, they feel this divide in their relationship to their family versus their relation to their friends or colleague. So does this film also touch on this theme?
Yes, absolutely. The way this family, their backstory is that the parents came to America when they were very young, and also that wave of immigrants in the 70s, in this case a Korean American family, and of course the daughter was born and raised here, so So there is that kind of a generational divide, but also a sense of you know, which side do I belong to? And you know, that's a very familiar kind of position we find ourselves in, especially for the daughter character who's on one side. She has her parents who represent a certain old ways of seeing things and their value system. But on the other hand, her boyfriend, who's all about the love of nature, outdoors, utter freedom, you know, almost to an extreme. So, you know, faced with these polar opposite energies of you know, freedom versus responsibility, and you know, she has to make a decision, she'll make a choice. And really, it's putting this whole family through this crisis in order for them to kind of really look at those choices and look at their relationship in a different light, in a in a, should we say, a bit more absurd and kind of extreme light, to really get to the essence of it. You know, what does it mean to be free from your parents? What does it mean to love your family? What does it mean to sacrifice? And I think all those things are really kind of an eye-opening experience for the daughter, who is, you know, second generation. But also, I think at the same time, for the parents as well, the extent to which they're willing to go to protect their daughter. And it's not a simple moralistic choice, but coming from a very raw, kind of an instinctual motherly love or fatherly love. So it really touches on these kind of raw emotions that actually transcends the, you know, the age and generational boundaries.
Okay, this is a fun. You're so like intellectual about this, and so like some of the things I really loved most about the script,
yeah,
were just all the little things that the idiosyncrasies that are apparent because they're ethnic, right? So, like, you know, it's like their snack is kimbap, right? Like. Yeah. It's just, yeah. We don't explain it. We don't have to explain the culture. It's just part of how we exist. Right. And I kind of love those little like unspoken peeks into just the way that we exist,
right?
You know, as cultural beings without having to explain it, right? Like mom always has restaurant napkins, you know, like, you know, mom wears the visor. It's just little things that like, you know, our Asian parents do that they just do. And we don't explain it. It's just, you know, if you're like, American and like, you know, not Asian, and you're like, that's weird, but for us we're like, oh, that's totally normal. In fact, you know, like that's just one of the quirky things that we do. And that's what I loved about it. That was kind of that code switching thing of like, oh, you know, in a way kind of reflected Everything Everywhere All at Once. You know how they just kind of transition in that movie between Cantonese and Mandarin and English, mm-hmm. which is how I grew up. Mm-hmm. And then they would just do little things or just have things in the production design that are just Asian. They just exist, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Didn't explain it, didn't have to go. It just exists. And I feel like we did that too. Like mm-hmm. they just do these things. They exist. Yeah. And we don't have to narrate it and guide people who are not Asian through it.
Right.
We're not going to explain it. It just is. Accept this world, you know.
I see. So initially to me, this film sounds like a psychological thriller because you got an accident and also you have these tensions uh-huh. within a family. Uh-huh. Yeah. But I also read from the website saying this is also like a dark comedy. I didn't quite mm-hmm. get the comedy part, but after hearing mm-hmm. Joy's explanation, I kind of get that humor part in this film.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think you know, one of the things that we both want to do is really, you know, not just tell an authentic Asian American story, but also a story that's honest and entertaining in a way. And I think the comedy aspect really exists in the, you know, it's the accident, right? The absurdity, the extreme absurdity of the situation they find themselves in. Yet, there are all these little idiosyncrasies and these little habits and these little looks and gestures and the way they interact with each other. They'll actually inform their decisions in the process. You know, all their relationship will actually play into how they respond to the situation. And that's why, you know, we spend a little time in the beginning to be with everyone before the accident happens, so that we, you know, we get to know them a little bit, we get to know their relationship a little bit, and we get to laugh a little bit. There's quite a bit of a, you know, lightheartedness in the beginning, and I think it's important for people to for the audience to know, like, hey, it's okay to laugh. This is kind of a funny and uncomfortable, awkward situation, and then bam. Well, you know, shit hits the fan and you know, somebody's shot dead. And so then let's see that these relationships play out in this situation.
Well, I kind of want to bring up, Dal, that, you know, we always talk about the model minority stereotype. Yeah. This is really counter to that,
right,
you know?
Right.
You know, it's like, in many ways, you know, part of the reason why this story is so fun and why I wanted to produce this is because it is so irreverent in many ways. And I think that is a reflect, you know, I'm so tired of being perfect and nice and, like, you know, and like civil and polite. And, you know, we're not always that way. Asian Americans are not always civil and polite. And I don't want to, yeah. Can't we be like kind of irreverent and sometimes gross? Like, mm-hmm. You know, I think this film allows us to have that portrayal where we're like irreverent and gross and kind of sometimes really dumb, you know?
as we normally are in our own private private space.
Exactly. Yeah, and also I'm pretty impressed by the pitch video, because initially I thought it was a trailer, because there seems to be this guy carrying a dead body over his shoulder, but it turns out to be Zhao and the rest of the crew introducing the plot and their parts in this film.
Hi, my name is Zhao Wang. I'm the writer-director of the film Unconditional. We're making it in January, but we need your help. Never mind this little dead body here.
Hey, who are you calling old and dead and little? My name's Carmiel Banaski. I'm one of the co-writers on Unconditional, and I'm one of the green set monitors.
So, yeah, I think it really does a great job giving the audience a taste of what the film is like, what they can expect from this film, because there's both suspense and humor as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we, you know, our Joyce and I, we our vision really aligned from the get-go. You know, we, for one, you know, how I came up with the idea and I wanted to do this is just I didn't want to do a sob story, an immigrant sob story. Feels like there's a lot of those immigrant stories where if feels, you know, tonally it's one thing, but I want to do something totally different. And so that was really the driving force in telling the story in this way and telling this particular story and to have to highlight all those idiosyncrasies of this family and you know, Asian American families in general. I really have that be a part of the driving force of the story. So the dark comedy aspect of it has always been part of the design, and the desire to tell this story. And I think, you know, that's why in the promo video, we wanted to reflect that tone. Cause I think it's really, you know, that's one of the most refreshing aspect, I think, about this story. It's the tone. It's a very unique tone, Joyce. You know, so and I think that really informed. You know, honestly, like, you know, just having heard us talks at, you know, up to this point, you can tell Joyce and I have a similar sense of humor. Temperament. So I think really the tone and the script and the story kind of sets that tone, so that, you know, that it's the right kind of people who are attracted to the project, who wants to do the project, and the kind of cast, you know, actors that we bring on. So I think that really is sort of the backbone to this whole thing.
I do want to say that this is very much, the tone of this piece is very signature Zhao Wang. Like, like, just knowing who you are, I'm like, this is very you. Like, you know, your thumbprint is all over it. And I think that's what makes it beautiful, you know, because it's like really authentically you as a storyteller, you know.
And you as a storyteller as well. So
everybody thinks I'm so serious all the time.
No, that's so far from the
joke. I have no idea.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, so speaking of the cast, I know you got a wonderful lead actress, Margaret Cho. Yeah, I really like her stand-ups.
They had a real problem with me because I look this way, but I talk this way. That was like a problem, and they're trying to be sensitive about it. They're like, Margaret, we don't want you to take this the wrong way, but could you be a little bit more, Chinese? Well, actually, I'm Korean. Whatever.
So how did you reach out to her and convince her to be part of this film?
Well, I'll start, and I'll hand this off to Joyce, because it's really a team effort. So I conceived the story and I wrote the character with her in mind. I came to this country when I was 14 in the early 90s, and I didn't speak English at the time. So I learned English by watching TV and really just repeating after what people were saying on TV. And I remember seeing Margaret Cho on TV at the time. And literally at the time, she was the only Asian American anybody on TV, you know, not even an actor, just anyone on TV, Asian American, Margaret Cho. I at the time, I didn't understand a lot of her jokes and her stand-ups, but I remembered her. And I remembered wanting to see more people like her, like myself on TV. But I just remember because she was basically forming my idea of Asian American on screen. And so over the years I've followed her career. I loved her work as a comedian, as an actress, but also as an activist. And I've just, you know, like when you have these kind of characters in your head, you're just always imagining stories kind of around them. So with this story, I really wanted her to play June, the mother. And so I wrote it with her in mind, and then honestly I did not know what I would do if I didn't get her. I just couldn't think of an alternative. so with that, you know, I Joyce and I got together, and I told her that's sort of what I want in mind. In fact, that's the only person I can imagine playing the character, and of course I felt like an impossibility to get her. Like, how are we gonna ever get to Margaret Cho, let alone at getting her to play the lead in the film? And then Joyce came on board.
And then you found this amazing producer.
I know. I know. And then Joyce, take over, please.
Well, you know, my job as producer is to say, oh, you want that? Let me figure it out, right? My entire job is to solve problems. And so I happen to be in a situation, and this is where I'm going to sound really pretentious because I'm going to name drop here, but I have a show that I sold to Sony Pictures Television that we have as Asian American comedy series, and we have Ken Jeong attached to executive produce it. So Ken and I are on a texting basis. You know, he's an emoji guy, so he texts emojis all the time. And I just texted Ken and I was like, hey Ken, I know you're really good friends with Margaret. We want to approach her for this role. Do you have any advice on how to approach her? And he just said, you can send her reps an email and you drop my name. You say you and I are working on a project together. You know, basically, he's like such a supporter of, you know, Asian American talent. And he's like, I'm going to help this community. So he's like, yeah, drop my name. So I did that. And we got to the reps. And again, the power of the script, we sent the script. And Margaret's like, love it. I'm in. Like that. Just like that. Love the script. I'm in.
Yeah, of course. Of course, that you know, she admitted all the steps in between, of course. You know, I wrote a letter to her, a personal letter, and basically telling her why this is so important, why I couldn't make the film without her. And of course, you know, Joyce and my whole team helped me revise the letter and putting a package together, including like a pitch deck that we did. So, you know, of course,
I forgot about all the steps.
Yeah, it was like all these steps in between. It took us like weeks to just get all this stuff ready.
It wasn't just like, hey, here's a letter. It was like the whole thing.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. It was a letter, it was a script, it was a pitch deck, and there's a bio about us. And, you know, the thing is, if you're sincere and if you really want someone for the role, you know, it's important to do your homework, to do these things where, you know, the talent can see that you're serious about this, because I'm sure they get all kinds of asks all the time. And, you know, this is not like a big Marvel movie where, you know, they're going for the money. You know, this is something that's a passion project for us. And it has to be a passion project for them as well, that they have to believe in it as well, because it's going to be hard, and it's not, you know, there's not a lot of money involved, and so you really have to do this for the love of it, yeah. for believing in the story. So it was important to communicate that to the talent. So thanks to Joyce's connection, we're able to get to her, and the material itself really spoke to her, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, I think Joyce also explained the role of being a producer. So Zhao, you as a director, you bring this idea, and Joyce is there to help you bring this idea to life.
Absolutely, absolutely. I could not have done it without Joyce.
Aw. It's true, but aw.
It is true, yeah.
Yeah, so I've learned about your project from the Asian Google Network, which is a corporate level Asian community. And there's both first generation immigrants and also second generation immigrants and so on. So is this your intended audience?
I think our audience is kind of, we kind of have like primary, secondary and tertiary audiences. And certainly our primary audience is our Asian American community, Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander community, you know, and folks who have an immigrant experience, but even if they don't have per se a first generation immigrant experience, they understand what it means to have to code switch and live between cultures, you know, and that's our primary audience. But, you know, secondarily, because it is a much more universal story, we're just looking for folks who love dark comedy, who love, you know, who love indie films, like people who watch Parasite, or Fargo, or Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like those folks, that would be our secondary audience. And then tertiary audience are definitely the fans of Margaret, for example. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really looking deeper at all, appealing to all those audiences, because I think thematically it's, you know, attractive to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the subject matter is very, you know, it's both universal and particular to immigrants, but the tone of it, the stark comedy tone, should also speak to people who love that kind of films, you know. So really we want everybody to love this film.
Yeah, hopefully this podcast episode can get your work seen by a wider audience. That is my biggest hope.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
That's what we're hoping too.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned you have this very diverse crew. Yeah. Just wondering, how did you guys get together?
I mean, you know, I found Joyce and Joyce found everybody else.
Yeah, the answer is producer. Hashtag producer. Yeah. You know, because I do produce narrative content, so I've worked on quite a number of sets, obviously, and I'm very, very lucky that people come back and work with me and for me over and over again. And so, you know, and it is, okay, I'll say this. It's very important for me and my talent pipeline to have diversity. And that's not necessarily the reason someone becomes part of my pipeline, because I always look at their work, right? And how they show up. But I also deeply value differences in opinions and differences in experiences. And so I make it a point to go and source my talent pipeline, to source, you know, my list of people to call from all different backgrounds, is what I'll say. So yeah, and then when it comes time, and you know, it comes time to call people up and say, hey, will you come and work on the shoot? That's what I do. I just have a very, very broad list and of people that I really enjoy working with, who are great, hardworking, talented, humble, kind, you know.
Yeah, and also you guys are doing crowdfunding. Yeah, I'm just curious, were they hard to pitch an independent film and find the money in general?
Oh boy, that's a full-time job in itself.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you saw the website and you saw the video we made, and I mean, that's only a part of this whole thing. You know, it's much harder to fund a short film, because the business model is simply very different from a feature film, where the cost can be recuperated very easily. For a short film, it's usually for a subject matter that's a little, you know, kind of pushing the boundary a little bit, and you know, with less of a quote unquote commercial appeal, even though I believe this film has a great commercial appeal. But it's just, you know, the matter of format itself, you know, the business model dictates that it's very difficult to get funding, you know, or the source of funding is limited. So we rely on crowdfunding. Again, you know, this is my first time doing crowdfunding, and Joyce can speak to this probably better. You know, we wanted to target people who would be interested in a subject matter, in a story around an Asian American family, and telling an Asian American story.
I'll say this. Yes, it's very hard to raise funds, especially for a short film. This is a proof of concept for a feature. So what we're really hoping to do with this is we have a very clear strategy, which is to make a just amazing kick-ass film that will, you know, really showcase our talent and win awards. And from that, we look to parlay this into then getting financing for the feature film. So, you know, if you think it's hard to get money for a short, it's even harder for a feature, to be honest. But if you have a proof of concept and people can see the tone of it, and they can see that it's, you know, that's winning awards, that the performances are strong, that people really resonate with it, then we have the legs to go out and get, you know, investors, distributors, et cetera, studio backing for a feature film. So right now for this short film, you know, I'll say our advantage is that we are fiscally sponsored by Film Independent. So any money that people donate to the film is actually tax deductible. And we are still raising money because of the actor's schedules and, you know, it dictated that we had to shoot. Even if we didn't have all the money in place, we had to shoot. So, you know, a lot of this is like our credit cards right now. And, you know, like, and things like getting favors and asking for grace on, like, you know, payments and stuff, so that we could take, you know, we could shoot when we could, because this is the only time that we could. So we are still raising funds, especially to help with post-production, because we have the film, you know, we have the footage in the can, but it's like, I like to think of it as like making a fancy dinner, right? Like, pre-production is buying all the ingredients, right? Filming, production is cooking it. But post-production is plating it, making it beautiful, setting the table, bringing the people to come eat, right? And what we're doing right now is to raise money for that last piece, because we may have an amazing film in the can, but if we can't put the score to it, like, you know, with composers, if we don't have Foley, if we don't have color grading, if we don't have all those pieces to make a beautiful plate, right? It's like eating pieces of a meal. It's not a whole experience. So that's really where we're looking still to fundraise. So, you know, if you have audience members who are like, yes, I support this, I want to do this because I support the arts, I support the voice, I want to see more of this, right? That's why I want that. That's what we're looking for. People who just want to be like, yes, let's do more of this. How can I be a supporter of the arts? That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. And when and where can we see this film?
When? Well, when, I think it's probably, you know, not until probably summertime. We're deep in post right now.
I'll say this, right? And this is where it's going to come back to the money thing and fundraising, is that the speed at which we can complete this film really is dependent on the funds available. Because when we get people to work for free, they can only do it during their off times, right? We're all trying to pay the bills. And so ideally, our goal is to have this out by the summer, because we do have the editing process, we have a testing process, then we have the finishing process. You know, and again, depending on what funds we have available, can we speed that process up, right? Can we make the Sundance deadline? Can we make the AFI Fest deadline? Can we make the Tribeca deadline? Or can we not, because we won't be ready yet?
Yeah. And also, I think when this episode is out, I believe we're very close to the Academy Awards this year. And we have this Asian American film won 11 nominations, including the Best Picture, which is Everything Everywhere All at Once, starring Michelle Yeoh.
What's happening?
I'm not your husband. I'm another version of him from another universe. I'm here because we need your help.
Very busy today. No time to help you.
Across the multiverse, thousands of Evelyns.
Yeah, so I'm sure both of you have watched this film already. How do you like the film and the tremendous attention it has gotten this year?
You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll start by saying I loved the film. And I love the film because it actually broke a lot of rules. You know, a lot of what we do as artists is that, okay, a lot of what we do as Asian Americans is we paint inside the lines, right? Yeah. We like follow the rules and we're compliant and we're like, we do what people tell us to do and we don't rock the boat. But what Everything Everywhere All at Once did was it said, screw the rules, break the rules, you know, like, let's be irreverent. Let's just, you know, and I think that was the most refreshing part of it, is that from the storytelling perspective, as filmmakers and artists, as artists, we're like, how do we see the rules and do something different and challenge them, right? And make people think beyond the box, beyond the boundaries. So never mind that it's Asian American. Never mind that I understand the English and the Cantonese and the Mandarin all at the same time, right? Just the fact that the storytelling itself is so compelling, right? And that it is so irreverent and yet so moving. I loved the film, frankly. I mean, obviously, but for all those reasons.
Yeah, same here. You know, in that way, it's exactly what our film is doing, to show an Asian American family breaking all the rules, a film that kind of breaks all the rules. So yeah, I love that film is such a mainstream talking point, that it's part of the conversation, and I cannot stress enough how important that is to encourage other filmmakers and similar stories, or different stories, or just any stories about Asian American to become mainstream. And, you know, just also just the sheer inventiveness of the storytelling itself. It's so thrilling. It just shows you, you know, in a way, it's like, yes, that part of America has always existed. That part of our landscape, cultural landscape, has always been there. But no one's ever told a story about it. And once you start telling a story about it, it's so rich. It's like the only wild, wild west that's left. You know, so for that, I'm so excited about that, because in a way, you know, spiritually, and emotionally, we're all exploring that territory, and it's just such so fertile that I think there's so much more to be done in that space. And I'm so glad to see the film getting so many nominations and getting the recognition that it deserves.
Yeah. And also the filmmakers, they're from an independent film company, right? Mm-hmm. A24.
Well, A24 is the financier and the distributor, but you know, the Daniels have a long history of really breaking the rules in a wonderful way. Like, I would say Swiss Army Man is by far one of my favorite films, because it is so irreverent. But yeah, I mean, think about this film too, right? Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's a $12 million film, which in the scale of, you know, the way Hollywood makes movies is like really low budget for what they did, you know?
Yeah.
I went to a talk that they gave, and they showed us how they did. They just used After Effects, Adobe After Effects, you know, to make like the everything, you know, the everything donut.
Yeah.
Or the everything bagel. Like, they showed us how they did. And I was like, what? You know, like, they did, out of something like 250 visual effects spots that they had, they themselves, the Daniels themselves, used Adobe After Effects and did like 150 of them, mm-hmm. you know, on their computers. Mm-hmm. So I think what it speaks to is that you don't have to be rich. You don't have to necessarily have privilege mm-hmm. in order to be a great storyteller and to be inventive and to be creative.
Because ultimately, I think the power of art is about the spirit. It's about whatever that drives your spirit, that drives your desire to make certain things. And if you could bring that about on screen or on paper or on a canvas, then that spirit will transcend. It will be seen. It'll be felt by the audience, will be felt by the viewer. The stronger that drive is, the stronger that spirit is, less clouded by, you know, money or marketing or like a committee of people making decisions, the more powerful it can be.
I think in a way, not that I'm saying, because I do hope one day I have a lot of money for my films.
Oh yes, we all do.
Right. but you know, the one of the things about having like a no low budget filmmaking is that it really forces you to be creative.
Yeah.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I do want the money though.
Yeah. I feel it's also a sign of Hollywood embracing diversity. And yeah, another example I can think of is Minari. I think it's in 2021. So it's also a film about an Asian immigrant family. Yeah, so I hope there will be more and more film telling Asian American stories in the future, because I think Asian American used to be like underrepresented to some extent in films.
Oh, we still are very underrepresented.
My dream is that one day this is not, you know, that it isn't, oh, this is the Asian American film, that in the future, this is just a great film.
Yeah.
You know, because then we wouldn't be underrepresented anymore.
Right. And I'll also say this. It is always up to the filmmakers and the people with a vision to break down barriers, to push the limits, to actually make the things that people have always thought was possible but aren't able to do, either because of the system prevents from doing it or the gatekeepers keeping them away from doing things or people are afraid of taking risks. It is always about the makers, the filmmakers, the people who are on the ground actually making these things. They're actually knocking down doors, actually breaking grounds and making things that eventually become mainstream. Mainstream was never mainstream until people start making it.
Mm-hmm.
So that really speaks to the spirit of our film and everyone behind this film, that we're here to make things. We don't want people to tell me what we can do or what we cannot do. We want to make things that we know that people will love, that we know people will like, that we know that there's a market for it. So the first step is always hard, but we're doing it. And I believe that once it's out there, people will rally behind it, will support it. And that's how you make something mainstream, like Everything Everywhere All at Once, like our film.
Here's the thing, right? So Dao, you said, oh, we're going to like make things that people are going to want. But here's the thing. They don't know they want it until we show it to them.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, you know, I feel like part of our job as creators is to create the world we want to see. And in doing so, especially with such a powerful vehicle as media with, you know, film and television, is that we present to people an alternative world that is real now in their minds. And therefore it becomes reflected in their perspective of the world at large. Mm-hmm. Right. So if they can see it, they can be it. Right. If we present that, just like when you had experience, when you saw Margaret Cho, when you're 14, you're like, oh, wow, there's someone like that. I want to see more people like that. I could be like that. Mm-hmm. That's what we have the power to do, is to say, this is what we see as possible, our vision, our dream.
Mm-hmm.
And that dream now becomes very codified and concrete. Then other people see it and they don't question if it's possible. They go, yes, mm-hmm. it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So best of luck with Everything Everywhere All at Once. And also good luck with your film. Yeah, I'm super excited about it. And I just can't wait to see it. And I hope the post-production can go well. And for anyone who is listening right now, if you're interested in helping fund independent films and supporting the Asian community, please reach out to Zhao or Joyce or other people on the team. Yeah, you can help bring this thing to life.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Find us on Film Independent, mm-hmm. Unconditional. You can Google Film Independent Fiscal Sponsorship Unconditional. And the easiest way to give is just to go online. You can give by credit card, by crypto, by stocks. We'll take all your money any way you want to give it to us. But absolutely, just Google. Hey, y'all work at Google. Google Unconditional Film Independent Fiscal Sponsorship.
Hey, thank you for listening. If you like our episodes, subscribe to Dedicated on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. If you want to follow us on socials, you can find us at Dedicated FM on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to contact us, our email is dedicatedfm2022@gmail.com. I hope you enjoy.